fantastic song to open up what I'm going to be sharing here. Please be seated. God bless you all. Wonderful to be together here and get into God's Word. We're going to look at talk about a new life. At some point, we're going to have a whole new life that God's going to provide for us. And I want to talk about that. As you've seen the title, Our New Spiritual Life. And I don't know about you, but when somebody talks about some fantastic gift, some great item that they want to give me in the future, I get pretty excited, yeah? Something that you really would enjoy. So you kind of check out, what could this be? You know, find out as much as I can about it. And of course, when that gift comes, or whatever that item is, it's usually much, much better than what you've figured it out it might be. And I think this is true with our new spiritual body. As born-again believers, we have been blessed to be children of God. He has given us His Spirit that ensures our eternal life. Which is our hope, and gives us a powerful resource in the natural world that we live today. And I know we endeavor to learn as much as we can about this new birth spirit, right? The nine manifestations of Holy Spirit. We realize that we identify fully in Christ, right? It's Christ in us. So we learn as much as we can. We renew our mind to the Word of who we are in Christ and operate the manifestations, the great resources we have that God has given us in the new birth. And we do the best we can. Well, there's a whole new life coming to us in the future. And when Christ returns for us, you and I, as born-again ones, are going to get a whole new spiritual body. Now, I don't know about you, but that's the greatest expectation I could have, I think. Because it's eternal life. It's to be ever with the Lord. It's living with Him in eternity. So what is that about? So maybe we should take a peek, huh, in God's Word and see what this new spiritual body is all about. All right. So first, let's take a look in Thessalonians, where the promise in God's Word is that He's coming back to gather us together. You know, our expectations for this new spiritual body, it's going to be a glorious body. It's going to be fantastic. And what does that mean, this new body, this new glorious body that God's talking about, that we'll have in the future? What does it consist of? What will we be able to do in this new body in Christ? So, 1 Thessalonians 4:16 is the promise. It says, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Okay, this is the gathering together. Some people call it the rapture. This is Christ coming back to gather His saints, the believers. Who's going to go first? The dead in Christ. "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." So shall we ever be with the Lord. And what does that mean then? What are we going to be like at that point? "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." You know, this is a great comfort to know a little bit about what's going to be happening in the future with this new spiritual body. Chapter 5, verse 9, "For God has appointed us," has not appointed us to wrath, right? "But to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. So who are we going to be hanging out with this new spiritual body? With him. Oh my gosh. That's pretty good company, don't you think? Amen. So how will we live with him? What form will our bodies take? What's it going to be like? So we're going to take a look at God's word, which tells us a few things about that. Colossians 3:4, let's go there if you would. Let's check the scriptures and see what they say about this new spiritual body. Colossians 3:4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in what? Glory. Glory. Okay. That's going to be a glorious time, right? We're going to appear with him in glory. It's all going to be a bright, sunny day when that happens for us. All right. The next couple verses are key verses here. A lot of great stuff in here. Philippians 3:20. Go there if you would. We're going to work these two scriptures, verse 20 and 21, to see exactly what they say. So I kind of dug in here, looked at the Greek, have a little different translation maybe. This is the King James that I'm reading with you. So let's take a look at it. For our conversation, and this word conversation in the Greek is the seat of government by which we are citizens. We might say our citizenship. And maybe some of your translations have that. King James says our conversation. But really it's about our citizenship, okay, is in heaven. So our citizenship is in heaven. Now the word is the Greek word that is a little more expanded than just the verb to be. It's translated in some of the translations, exist even now in heaven. So our citizenship exists even now in heaven. So where's your citizenship? Now I'm going to say, I'm American. Hey, I'm a born-again believer. My citizenship is in heaven. You know, Jeannie and I lived in Bristol, England for a year. And so we were around all these English talking folks. But where was our citizenship? Back in the, we were still United States citizens. But I tell you what, spiritually, we're citizens of heaven. All right? All right. So, and it goes on to say that from whence also we look, and the word look, again in the Greek, I'm expanding here on what the Greek is, it says eagerly waits. It's more than just seeing, but it's with an anticipation and eagerness to wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so are we getting this verse? Our citizenship exists even now in heaven, for which we look eagerly for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, where is he? He's hanging out at the right hand of God. So it should paint a pretty good picture for us. Now, verse 21. Who shall change, and the word change, again in the Greek, I'm not going to give you the Greek words. I can't pronounce them very well anyway. But it's the word transform. And again, some of your Bibles, different translations that you may have transform. Who shall transform our vile body? Now, what's vile body? Well, that means a lowly body, low level, not so high, okay? He's going to change or transform our lowly body. You know what transformers are? Oh, you know, they had the kids have these cars, right? They're little dinky cars, but then they transform into these big, powerful robots, right? Maybe you've seen some of these movies. It's a whole series of Transformer movies. And there are these cars, but all of a sudden they transform into this big old powerful robot. But we're not going to be robots. But the point is, we're going to have a transformation. We're not going to heaven in what we are right now. Okay? So, he's going to transform our lowly body. Now, it says that it may be fashioned in the King James. All the texts, they don't have that it may be. There's no maybe about it. There's no guess to it. There's no, this might happen. No, that's not in the text. So it reads, he's going to transform our lowly body, fashion, come into existence like unto his glorious body. Oh my goodness. You mean I'm going to have that same body that Jesus Christ has when he was resurrected and arose to the right hand of the Father? Yes, that's what the scripture says. I didn't write the book, huh? Here it is. He says he's going to fashion, come into existence like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue or subject all things unto himself. Anybody can pull it off? He can. And we're going to have a new glorious body like unto his glorious body. That's pretty exciting. When Christ gathers us up together, we will be transformed out of this thing, and we'll have a body like his glorious body. Whew. Something to look forward to, huh? Yeah, I trust so. You know, I'm sharing something here that is in the future. So you might say, well, that's in the future. So what? So what? This is the expectation we have. This is eternal life. I don't know about you, but this inspires me. It gets me excited about living day by day, knowing that this is going to happen anytime when Christ comes back. So it's nice to have this kind of expectation, huh? Yeah, my goodness. So something to look forward to. So what is this glorious body that he got once he was raised up from the dead and he showed himself alive for how many days after the resurrection? 40 days. God wanted to make sure that his resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ was evident to the world. And it wasn't like, he'll be resurrected a couple days, that should do it. No, 40 days, Jesus in his resurrected, glorious body lived and showed himself. So let's take a look at some of the records. We're not going to look at all of them. Who was the first person that saw the resurrected Christ? Mary Magdalene. Who did she think she was looking at? The gardener. So this new body has form. It's not just some wispy spiritual thing, but there's form to it. There's recognition to it. Okay? But she thought she saw the gardener, but then he started talking to her, and he realized it was the Lord. There's another record about Peter having that experience. And then, very soon, he shows himself to two men on the road to Emmaus. Let's take a look at that record in Luke 24, if you want to join me there. Verse 13. And these two guys, one of them is named in the Bible. Remember what his name? Cleopas. They didn't name the other guy. But they were regular old disciples. They knew about Jesus. They were there in Jerusalem. And they were on their way home to Emmaus. It's about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And, well, let's read the record. And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, which is about 7 miles. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. What things were they talking about? The crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the Savior, and what was going on here. So they were talking about this event, And came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. They didn't know that it was Jesus. Some guy joined him. He's walking along down to the road to Emmaus, right? So we're not going to read the whole record here, but Jesus talks to him. He opens up the scriptures to them in such a way that it blows their minds. Didn't our heart burn within us when he opened the scriptures, they said later on? Oh my goodness. But later, when he finally reveals himself, it says, their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And the word vanish is made, is invisible. He became invisible. So this body, this glorious body, the Lord Jesus Christ in his resurrected body, which we're going to have like unto his glorious body, you could see it, right? It had form, it had substance, and yet, boom, he's gone. Wow, that's pretty neat. Yeah, it's fantastic. Wow. All right, let's take a look at another event, John 20, if you would. John 20, verse 19. Then the same day, John 20, verse 19, another event here. A lot of different times Jesus showed himself during these 40 days. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. They were behind closed doors. Fear of the Jews. Who pops in? Came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. I mean, if you were in a room and it was all locked up, nobody could get in, and all of a sudden Jesus pops in the middle, I mean, they're going, whoa! Peace be to you. That's our Lord and Savior. What a loving Savior he is. And when he had peace unto you, and when he had so said, he showed himself unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. What was it about his hands and side? That's where the wounds were, right? Yeah. And so, again, there's form, there's substance in this body, but yet it comes right through the door, you know, closed door, and shows up. Pretty exciting body to have. Well, Luke takes it a little further. They kind of thought they saw a ghost at first. Let's take a look. Luke 24, 37. Luke 24, 37. But they were terrified and affrighted. This is the King James I'm reading with you. And suppose that they had seen a spirit. Most of your translations more accurately translated ghost, right? Ghost. They seen the, I know the NIV, NLT as ghost. They thought they saw a ghost. Behold my hands and my feet, that it as I myself, handle me, see. For a ghost has not flesh and bones as you see me have. So there was substance to the Lord Jesus Christ in his glorious body. And this is something we're going to have. Our new glorious body is going to be sub. We're not going to be some wispy spirit. There'll be a substance that's fantastic, like unto his glorious body. Well, let's see what else happened here. So he showed himself, and while they yet believed, not for joy, and wondered, he said unto them, hey, you guys got anything to eat around here? Right? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. So do we get to eat in our new glorious body? That's kind of neat, huh? Yeah, I don't know if they're going to have Big Macs and fish and chips in heaven, but burritos, I don't know. But history. We'll see. But we're going to be able to eat. And of course, you can see this in Revelation that there's some special food for us that will give us that eternal life forever. Well, there was another time that he met with them. And let's see. Oh, yes. John 20:22. He shares with them about receiving the Holy Spirit. And this is the record in John 20:22. He's preparing them for what would be Pentecost. They didn't know the time, obviously, but we know from the record in the Bible it was Pentecost. So he's teaching them about receiving the Holy Spirit. So verse 22, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive you the Holy Spirit. So he was teaching them to breathe in. When that time came, they would be breathing in. And what happened on the day of Pentecost? There is that Holy Spirit came and there was a heavy breathing going on, right? So he was preparing them to receive. Well, there's all these records in here. I'm not sharing all of them with you, but John 21:1. This is kind of neat. Verse 1 in chapter 21 of John. After these things, Jesus manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. Now, the Sea of Tiberias is the Sea of Galilee. Same thing, different name, right? And he manifested himself on this wise. We've been there. We've seen the Sea of Galilee. And it's like a giant lake. It's not like out in the ocean. But it's, you know, I don't know, 5-7 miles across. It's kind of big and oval. The giant lake. But anyway, there they are. Jump to verse 4. But when day was breaking, Jesus stood out on the beach, yet the disciples knew not it was Jesus. What were the disciples doing at this time? They were out fishing. James said, we're going to go fishing. Jesus therefore said unto them, children, have you caught aught to eat? They answered him, nope. So these guys go fishing. Did they catch any fish? Nope. No fish. They didn't know exactly what's going on here. Verse 6, and he said unto them, hey, cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it up for the multitude of fishes. And they later counted it. It was 153 fish. Pretty neat catch there. They'd worked all night, all morning, and Jesus had them throw the net right next to the shore. They ended up having a picnic on the beach, didn't they? John 21:9, verse 9. So when they got out upon the land, they see a fire of poles there and fish laid upon there and bread. But Jesus was there in his resurrected body, his glorious body, makes a fire. They have a picnic. They have fish to eat. Fish and bread. Wow. Look at verse 30. You're in chapter 20. Go back a little bit. Verse 30 in chapter 20 of John. Because I want to catch this expression here. It says, many other signs, therefore, did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Verse 31, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name. Wow. It also says, it's interesting to note, in chapter 21, verse 25, I know we're going back and forth here a little bit, but verse 25, chapter 21, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. But Jesus did a lot of stuff with his disciples during those 40 days. Now, we could go to the book of Acts, because there's the last record of him before he ascended up into heaven, right? Right before Pentecost. He told them to wait there until things happen. They would receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon them. Verse 8 of chapter 1. So they would have the capacity to receive that gift of Holy Spirit. So, putting this all together, we've looked at a number of records to see what this glorious body is all about. And when Christ comes back for us, I mean, this is an event that's going to blow our minds. We're going to get this new glorious body, and it'll have substance. We'll be able to eat. We'll be able to move around. When he ascended up into heaven, where did he go? To the right hand of the Father. Boy, that's traveling fast. We will be able to travel very quickly. We won't need any cars or jets or anything like that, I don't think. But, man, oh man. So I trust knowing a little bit about what's coming with this new glorious body, that you could be so thankful, be excited, grateful for who you are now. And let's be our best now. Why not? Because eternity is going to last much longer than the few years we live here on earth, for sure. So, Heavenly Father, thank you that you have prepared for us a new, glorious spiritual body like unto the Lord's body. And we're so grateful and thankful we can have a little peek at what's ahead, and that we can be excited today for it and live for you today and tomorrow until you do send your wonderful Son back to gather us together, that we can operate the resource we have now, that gift of Holy Spirit, and just be our best for you. Live that love of God that you put in our hearts. So I thank you for your people, for the word living in their hearts, and for the days ahead we have to live for you and have the great expectations of the gathering together and having that new glorious body like unto his. And thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Bob, thank you so much. I was just getting a little silly thinking of this. With these new bodies that we'll be having, put away your skin lotion and creams. You won't need it. We will have everlasting bodies. No more diseases, sickness, fears, or anything like that. So praise God for his perfect plan. Amen. And that's fellowship. Body on Facebook. Thank you for joining us.